And so we want you to be aware of that. But baptism is your initiation into the family of God. It is an outward sign of an inward work that God has done in your life. I'll just say it this way at the beginning. If you are a believer, if you belong to Jesus Christ, you need to be baptized. It's an act of obedience to God. Jesus said many places in the Scripture, we'll go through some of them this morning, that if you believe and are baptized, you will receive the benefits of God. And so baptism is an important step in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And perhaps one of the reasons that more Christians aren't water baptized is because of the culture that we live in. We live in a pick-and-choose culture. When you go to the grocery store, you don't just have one brand of laundry detergent to choose from. You've got six or seven different brands, and all of them do something different or emphasize something. They all clean your clothes, but they all, you know, they make them minty fresh. No, that's your breath. They make them pillowy soft or something like that. And, you know, toothpaste, groceries, all that kind of stuff. Tomato sauce. You got the store brand, you got Hunch, you got Heinz, you got top quality, you got low quality, you got all kinds of stuff that you... And we're used to being able to just kind of pick and choose what we want according to our likes and dislikes. And sometimes we apply that to our relationship with God too. We kind of pick and choose what we want to obey and what we don't want to obey. And baptism is one of those things that God says you're to do. It's a command of Christ to be baptized. I don't want to make anybody feel guilty. Well, that's not really true. I don't want anybody to feel compelled or forced to do this, but it is an act of obedience to God to be water baptized. In our country, there are no real consequences to being baptized. If you're baptized, the worst that's probably going to happen to you is people are going to question you about it. What are you, one of those people? Are you one of those followers? Are you one of those radicals? Are you one of those crazy people that believe in Jesus Christ and literally? Well, the answer to that is yes. And by the way, that is the purpose, one of the purposes of baptism anyway. It's to be a symbol to the community that you have followed Jesus Christ and that you belong to Him. There's all kinds of symbolic meanings behind it, but one of the strongest is that you are proclaiming to the world that you are a believer in Jesus Christ. That's why when you're baptized, I encourage you to invite your friends and your family to come and to hear your testimony and to see that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. It's not that way all over the world. In many places around the world today, it is said and it's true that your baptism certificate could double for your death certificate. There's a high price attached to following Christ. And yet, in the Muslim world, in the world around us, there are thousands upon thousands of people who believe and are baptized no matter what the consequences are. There was a pastor, a college pastor, that was in East Malaysia. And he gave a salvation message with a baptism service that evening. And he noticed that a young girl came to the service and she brought two suitcases with her. And he thought, well, that's an awful lot of clothes to change into after you're baptized. I wonder what's going on. And he asked her why she brought those two suitcases. And she said, well, I went home and I told my parents that I was a follower of Jesus Christ and that I was going to be baptized. And they said, pack your bags, you're no longer part of this family. And she came to the baptism determined to follow Jesus Christ, no matter what the cost was. So we baptize in water here at North Point. We believe that it's an important step. Jesus was baptized. Jesus himself was baptized in water. Why was Jesus baptized? Well, the story is told in Matthew chapter 3, where Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist. It says, then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John didn't want to baptize him. He said, I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, so why are you coming to me? John realized who Jesus was, the Messiah, the Son of God, the sinless Lamb of God. And he said, wait a minute, I'm the one that needs to be baptized by you. But Jesus said, it must be done because we must do everything that is right. So then John baptized him. And after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son and I am fully pleased with him. Now, the first thing that you want you to notice is that the biblical mode of baptism is by immersion. He went down into the water. The roots of the baptism is in Old Testament ceremonial washing, where they would wash the items that were going to be used in the temple worship to clean them from the commonness and from the sin that had settled upon it in a symbolic measure to make sure that they were clean and ready for God's use. They were set aside for God's special use. The Greek word baptizo, what we get the word baptism from, means literally to dip under, to wash something with, to immerse it. And it's commanded by Jesus. And everywhere it's commanded by Jesus, it's linked to the salvation experience. It's a public act that proclaimed to the community that you had joined the church. In Matthew 28:19, it says, "Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." That's instructional scripture, by the way. There are some people who believe that you should be baptized in Jesus' name only. This is instructional scripture. It tells us how we're to baptize. The other scriptures that mention Jesus' name only are narrative. They're telling us the story of what happened. It's not instructional in nature. This is specifically instructional when Jesus says, here's how you're to do it. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That triune Godhead that is ours forever. It's not only commanded by Jesus, but it was practiced by Him also. Now, Jesus was not baptized because He was in need of repentance. He didn't do it because he needed to be sorry for His sin. Indeed, Jesus was the only sinless man that ever walked the face of the earth. He never committed a sin. He was pure and holy. That's why He could offer His blood for our sacrifice, because He was pure and holy and sinless. If He had sinned, He wouldn't be eligible to be our sacrifice. He would have rendered Himself ineligible, but He was pure and holy. So He didn't do it for need of repentance. He didn't do it because He needed to get closer to the Father. As somehow this completed the act of His salvation. He didn't need to get closer to the Father. He said in other places, "The Father and I are one. If you've seen the Father, you've seen Me. If you know the Father, you know Me." So He didn't get baptized because He needed to be forgiven from His sin. He didn't get baptized because He needed to be closer to the Father. He was baptized so that we could see the benefits of water baptism. First and foremost, baptism is a matter of obedience. Now that's kind of a red flag for people in our culture today, because we don't like to be obedient to anybody else. We will be if we can rationalize it in our own mind. If there's benefits in it for us, then we will obey. But Jesus asks us to submit completely to Him so that His will becomes our will, so that His purpose becomes our purpose, so that we can become one with Him. It takes an act of obedience in order to do that. He said, "This must be done." And I believe He was speaking in terms of you and I also. Not only must it be done by Him, but it must be done by you and I also. He was baptized in water as a matter of obedience. He was baptized in water and it was blessed by God. There's this significant event that happens at Jesus' baptism. It says, "The heavens parted, the Spirit descended on Him like a dove, and the Father expressed His pleasure with Him." Once again, we see that triune Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, expressed as one God and in separate, three separate personalities. You have Jesus being baptized, you have the Spirit descending like a dove, and you have the voice of the Father giving His approval to the whole process. It's blessed by God the Father through this. And so Jesus was obeying the Father and received His blessings from it. Now, I'm not going to say that God will not bless you if you are not baptized. But I'm saying that we need to be careful that we live in obedience to the Word of God. That word of obedience is important. You know, when you were a young person, your relationship with your parents was much more pleasant if you obeyed. Did they ever stop loving you if you were disobedient? No, I don't think so. Not a good parent doesn't stop loving their child because they're disobedient. They can be disappointed in them. They can withhold blessings from them. They can do all kinds of things, but they never stop loving them. But things go better when you obey. All the parents said, amen. Just wondered if you were with me there, kind of looking at me funny for a minute. Obedience is important in our relationship with God. God calls us to obey. Even Jesus obeyed the Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, Father, take this cup from me. But if not, then I want your will more than I want my will. He submitted Himself to the Father. How much more should you and I submit ourselves to the Father? We need to be baptized because it is a symbol of our cleaning up. Water is a symbol of a cleansing agent. We're washed with the waters of baptism. It's to signify something that has happened inside of our hearts, that we've been forgiven by Jesus Christ. That is the whole crux of Christianity, is that you can be forgiven. You can find relief for your guilt. You can find relief from your sin. You can find relief from your disobedience to God by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we've been washed and cleaned by the water. In Acts 22:16, Peter says, why are you delaying? Get up and be baptized and have your sins washed away, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, the water doesn't literally wash your sins away. The blood of Jesus washes your sins away. The Bible's very clear about that. But baptism is a symbol of what has happened in your life since you received Jesus Christ. And just let me say this. Baptism is important because it's a marker. It's a standing stone of what happened in your life when the enemy comes to try to take that away from you. The obedience of baptism says to the enemy, no, I was baptized in water because Jesus washed my sins away. It's proof of God's forgiveness in my life. And I can take you back to that spot in that little church in Holland, Michigan, at the front of the church in that styrofoam, fiberglass tank that we have. And I remember when I went down in that warm water. Don't be whiners. I went down in that water. How's that? And I was baptized and I was washed. My sins were washed away. It was a symbol of what God has done in my life. Maybe you think that you're not worthy of being baptized today. Maybe you think you got to clean up your life. I've got news for you. You're not worthy and you can't clean up your life. But Jesus has already done that for you. Jesus makes you worthy. You can't do anything to be worthy of God's forgiveness in and of yourself except just say, thank you, Jesus, for your forgiveness. That's all you have to do. You can't clean up your life, because the minute you clean up your life, something else comes up and you get mad at the dog and something is always there. Sin crouches at the door, the Bible says. It seeks to have us and it's constantly there tempting us. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, from all unrighteousness. We've been cleaned up. In Acts 2:38, it says, Peter replied, each of you must turn from your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Once again, baptism does not forgive your sins. It's a picture of what has already happened in your life. Christ, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's kind of an order of things that happens here. First, you're saved. You ask Jesus to forgive your sins. You give your life to Him. You submit to His will. Then you're baptized in water in obedience to Him and His command. Then you're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the order that God wants us to go in. And Jesus wants us to follow His will. And then the third thing that it says is that we have died to our sins and risen with Jesus Christ. There's a you that lived before you came to Christ, and it's dead now. The Bible says that we have died to our sins. In Romans 6:3-5, it says this, or have you forgotten that when we became Christians and were baptized to become one with Jesus Christ, we died with Him? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with Him in His death, we will also be raised as He is. There's so much symbolism and wonderful pictures of what has happened to us and what is going to happen to us. That's one of the reasons we baptize by immersion, because it's a picture of death and resurrection. We lay you down into the water and it covers you. And it's a symbol of Jesus laying down His life in death and being covered by the earth, so to speak, and going into that dead place of the dead and giving His life for us. But He didn't stay dead. He rose again, and we lift you back up in the name of Jesus Christ to the new life that you experience in Him. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 15:5, it says, if anyone be in Jesus Christ, they are a new creation. That new creation is you coming up out of the water. It's you being raised in newness of life. It's you being raised in the power of Jesus Christ. And you are a new creature. The old Joe is down there. It's dead. It's gone. It's buried. And God sees us as new creation in Him through Jesus Christ. That ought to make you just kind of say, amen. You have new life because of that, and that baptism is that picture of what has happened to you. And you're saying to the world, I am dead in my sins, but Jesus Christ raised me up in newness of life, and I am alive in Him. I am new in Him. In Colossians 2:12 it says, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with Him you were raised to a new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. I like that Romans piece we just looked at because it links it with the future also. Not only is it indicative of what happened right now, that you're forgiven and raised in newness of life, but it also says that one day our bodies may go into the grave, but we are going to experience eternal life. We are going to be raised with Him. The Bible says that when the Lord comes back, there's going to be a trumpet sound, and those that have died in the Lord are going to burst forth from their graves. They're going to be recreated with perfect bodies, and we're going to ever live with the Lord. That's our hope. And baptism says, I believe that's going to happen to me. I believe that I'm going to be raised one day with Jesus Christ. I believe that I'm going to be one with Him, that I'm going to go to heaven and live with Him forever. I got two questions for you as we close this morning. Number one, have you followed Jesus Christ? That's the first thing. We've got a couple of children that have indicated a desire to be baptized. There was a time in the church when we waited for you to kind of grow up a little bit, but that's kind of changed in my mind. The Bible, Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. And I'm amazed at some of these kids, how they can elucidate what baptism means. They know what it means. They get it. They got it. And their little minds are able to grasp that. Maybe it's because it's not so full of junk yet. But they're able to grasp that Jesus died and was buried and we're participating in that. They say it in their own words, but they get that. And I don't want to discourage a child from obeying Jesus Christ. I mean, how does it look if we say, you must obey Jesus in everything that you do? I want to be baptized. No, you can't do that yet. Sending a mixed message there. Well, what if they sin later on in life? What if you sin later on in life? I mean, you know, why are you worried about that? Have you become a follower of Jesus Christ? If you haven't, you can do that this morning. That's the first step, is to become a follower of Him. Become a follower of Jesus Christ. Give your life to Him. Maybe you've been kind of playing around the edges. You've been kind of playing church a little bit, but you've never really made Jesus the Lord of your life. You can do that this morning. And if you have, will you be baptized? I'm asking you that question. If you haven't been baptized, will you be baptized? Will you sign up for it this morning? There's a sheet in the back. You can go sign up, or you can talk to me or Pastor Mike. Pastor Mike's going to be performing the baptisms tonight. You can talk to him. You can talk to me. You can sign up. You can talk to Pastor Matt, Pastor Juanita. Anybody that's on staff here would be happy to explain to you what it means. I just did but we'd be happy to include you tonight in that baptism. Will you be baptized? I hope you say yes. It's an act of obedience to God. It's an act of obedience to Him. And God blesses those who are obedient to Him. Put aside all of your excuses. There's no excuses. We baptize people in wheelchairs that wanted to be baptized. We baptize people that, you know, in just about any situation you can think of because they want to be baptized. And there's no excuses for you either. We're going to close in prayer this morning. I'm going to invite you to come forward. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to invite you to come down and meet me here at the front. I'd be happy to pray with you, to ask Jesus to come into your heart. So why don't you stand with me as they lead us in this song? I just want to encourage anybody that needs Jesus Christ to come as they sing through this song one time.